Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, good morning. If you're a guest with us today, my name is Trey Kelly. I'm the pastor here. And we are starting a brand new series today, and I am incredibly excited about it. Honestly, I'm probably as excited about this series than I've been in a really, really, really long time. Because what we're going to talk about for the next few weeks, I believe, is a universal struggle. I don't believe any of us in this room have gotten this right or really even close to getting it right. And I am convinced that God has the answer. And so as a communicator, as a pastor, it's really exciting when I know that God's got something for every single one of us, whether you even believe in God or not. He has something to say to all of us over the next few weeks. I'm just really, really, really glad you guys are here. We're going to be talking about a topic today that may be a little surprising to hear about in church, but I'm going to explain it in just a moment. So here's where we're going to go for the next few weeks. We're going to be talking about communication. And communication is simply the successful exchange of information, ideas, or feelings. Communication is how we transfer to someone else what we know, what we think, and how we feel. It's how they transfer that information to us. And communication happens when we successfully transfer those two things. And it sounds so simple. It's a simple transfer of thoughts, a simple transfer of feelings, a simple transfer of ideas. But for any of us in this room who've ever tried to communicate with other people, we know it can be daunting. It can be incredibly difficult. If you ever find yourself in a situation where you thought you were so clear and you thought you were so right and you thought you said exactly what you wanted to say and then the person walks away and they heard a completely different thing. Or you heard a completely different thing. I don't know why communication is so difficult, but what I know is that it is. I know, specifically for those of us who have people in our lives that we're very close to, people that, you know, we're trying to raise children with, or children we're trying to raise, or families. I don't know why, but communicating with those people, it seems like the more you love someone, the harder it is to get right this transfer of ideas and hopes and dreams. Now, the good news is I believe God has an answer for why it's so difficult, and I believe there's a path forward. But first, I just kind of need to get everybody on the same page here. You don't have to raise your hand or anything, but can we all admit communication can be difficult? Can we all admit that we've had some misfires? I was trying to think of a story to share. One of the things I like to do when I'm teaching is I kind of like to lead with, hey, here's how I mess up with this, and we all mess up with this, and God can solve this. And so I was trying to think about a story I could share about a miscommunication that's happened in my life. And most of my miscommunication at this point in my life are with my incredibly beautiful, wonderful wife, Danielle, of 16 years. We normally don't miscommunicate, but when we do, ooh, it's a doozy. And I was trying to think of a miscommunication story I could share with you that would still make you want to come back next week. So I had to, it took me a while, but I remembered one, and I've got to give you a little background for this. The guy who was out here at the beginning, Eric Colquitt, he and April, Danny and I have known them for 16 years. We went to seminary together, and Eric, who's our student pastor now, was on staff at Keystone Church, which is the church where I was working at before I came here. We had both were on staff there. We both helped start that church. And one day when we were on staff, we had a conversation about trust. And it was just the two of us. I don't really remember why we were talking about it, but we were talking about trust. And I can't remember all the details, but I assume we had just done communion or something because there were some candles on the table, and there was a lighter on the table as well. And we were talking about trust and trust falls and how we had done trust falls as kids. And for some reason, look, pause. I was 26 years old when this happened. For some reason, I picked up the lighter. And I said, Eric, do you trust me? And he's like, of course I trust you. And I said, so do you think I would burn your hand with this lighter? And he goes, no. And I said, okay, prove it. Put your hand over the lighter. And he said, no. And we kind of laughed. And I'm like, Eric, dude, do you think I would burn your hand? No. Do you think I would hurt you? No. Do you trust me? Yes. Put your hand over the lighter. No. He just wouldn't do it. And I started to get my feelings hurt. I was like, do you really think I would burn you? Like I mean, it was one of these torches, so it would hurt. But I was like, do you really think I would burn you? No, I don't think you would burn me. Do you trust me? Yes, I trust you. Then put your hand over the lighter. No. He just wouldn't do it. And so I gave up. I went home. I was talking that night with Danny. I was telling her about my day. And I was like, you will not believe what happened at work today. You will not believe Eric. Eric thought I would burn his hand. I tell her the whole story. He wouldn't put his hand over the lighter. Can you believe that? And Danny's like, kinda. And so we happened to have one of these lighters at the house. So I went and got it. And yeah, I'm telling the story too. I see where it's going. And so I get it out and I say, it's insane. Baby, I trust you. I trust you. Here, take the lighter. So she takes the lighter. And I said, I trust you. I know there is no way you would ever burn my hand. And I put it over the lighter. And as I said, I know there's no way you would ever burn my hand. What she heard was, burn his hand. And so I put my hand over the lighter. She lit it. It burned my hand. And I did not say words I can say on stage. I looked at her and I said, what were you thinking? Ah! She's like, I thought you were going to do a magic trick or something. It's really what she said. Clearly, we had not successfully exchanged information, ideas, or feelings. Now, that's funny, but it was painful. But most of us have stories about miscommunication that aren't funny, but are painful. We have stories of saying this and someone else hearing that. And we have stories of, well, that's not what you said. No, it is what I said. Well, it's not what I thought you meant. Well, how do you know what I meant? I said what I meant. Well, you don't always say what you mean. Sometimes you say one thing and you mean another. How do you know that? So the reason we're gathered today, and the reason we're doing this series is because I'm just convinced that it would be great. Think about it like this. Wouldn't it be nice if it was just a little easier? Wouldn't it be nice if it was just a little better? Wouldn't it be nice if we could learn to avoid some of those miscommunications we have in life? Spouses, wouldn't it be nice if you could communicate just a little better with each other? This is a warning, gentlemen. Don't agree too loudly. First hour, I said, wouldn't it be nice? I had a husband go, yeah. I was like, you're in trouble. That was too much. That was too loud. Too loud. But wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice, parents, if it was just a little easier to communicate with your children or with your students? Wouldn't it be nice, students, if it was just a little bit easier to communicate with your parents? Wouldn't it be nice, bosses, if it was just a little bit easier to communicate with your employees, to communicate your expectations, to communicate maybe where they're missing the mark? Wouldn't it be nice, employees, for it to be a little bit easier to communicate with your boss? Wouldn't it be nice in your neighborhood? Wouldn't it be nice if we could get a little bit better at this? If we could experience a little more success as we try to transfer what we think, what we know, and how we feel to other people. See, we think it would be nice, and we know that it's possible, which is why we're launching this brand new series today that we're calling I Said This, You Heard That. And we're very excited about this series because we're going to run this series on two tracks at the same time. For 3 weeks, we are going to gather in this room every Sunday, and we are going to talk about God's solution to our communication problem. Because making a mistake, God does have an answer. God does have a solution. But that's only going to get us a part of the way to the goal. What we're going to discover over these next 3 weeks is that God's solution is very clear, but it's going to take work. God's solution is going to take practice. It's going to take effort. And so once we're done meeting for 3 weeks in here, what we're going to challenge every person in our church to do is then join a small group and sign up for a 6-week group where we're going to take the principles we learn in here and figure out how to put them into practice in our lives. In small groups of people that are going through the same things we are, where we can have conversations, where we can wrestle with these ideas and wrestle with how to put them into practice. And I'm very, very excited about it. And by the end of the day, I'd be willing to bet you will understand why we're going to put this much effort into this behavior. But first, I just want to talk about God. And I want to talk about how helpful God wants to be. Because I know for some of us in this room, especially if we don't have a church background, maybe this is your first time at our church or first time at church in a while, not many people view God as helpful. It's not really a common emotion we have towards God. I'm sure you think of God as like maybe holy, God is powerful, or maybe your vision of God is like he's this guy up in heaven with a beard and a lightning bolt, and he's just kind of watching, waiting for you to mess up, you know, so he can just throw that lightning bolt down and zap you. You know, sometimes that's kind of how we can think about God, but it's a complete mischaracterization of who God is. God loves us, and God created us to love us. God created us to have a relationship with us. God created us to give us a great life. God created us to be helpful with us. God created us to be practical with us, and we know this because he proved this love for us when he sent his son, Jesus. He sent his son Jesus not only to model for us how to live the life he wants, but then by laying down his life, he made our relationship with God possible. And so when Jesus was on the earth, he lived for 33 years. The last 3 years of his life, he engaged in a public teaching ministry. He traveled around and he taught and he healed people. And the entire time he was teaching, what he was teaching people was, hey, God wants to be helpful. Hey, God has ideas for how to make every area of your life better. God has practical things he can offer. God has all these things he can do. And then, as I said, he proved his love by sacrificially laying it down for us. And then God proved his power by bringing Jesus back to life, by raising him from the dead. Now, we know all these things because some of Jesus' followers were really, really smart guys. And what they decided to do was write down what Jesus taught. And then they wrote down kind of a history of the early church. And they wrote all this down, and we can now read these things in something we call the Bible, specifically in the New Testament. The New Testament is kind of the last third of what Christians call the Bible. The Old Testament tells a story of God creating the earth, of humans kind of rejecting God, and then God launching his rescue mission, establishing a foundation for it through the nation of Israel. And it was out of this nation of Israel that that Jesus comes and Jesus arrives in the New Testament and he actually finishes his rescue mission. And so in the New Testament, we can read all about Jesus. We have 4 biographies of his life, 2 written by 2 eyewitnesses and then 2 other biographies written by 2 men who were kind of second generation Christians, and they went and interviewed the eyewitnesses to write him down. Then we have a history of the early church that tells the history of Jesus' movement spreading around the known world at the time. And then we have training manuals. We have different letters written by different men to different churches to teach them what it meant to be a Christian. Basically, how to apply all of Jesus' teachings in their lives. The man who wrote more letters than anybody else was a man named Paul. Paul was an early, early Christian. He was a pastor. He was a church planner. He would literally go to a new city where there were no Christians. He would lead people to Jesus. He would then establish a church. He would nominate leaders. He would elect leaders to be part of the church. And then he would move on to the next area and start over. But these churches still had questions. Hey, Paul, what about this? What about that? So Paul would write letters to these churches, just giving them instructions on what it meant to be a Christian. And what we believe is that God was speaking through Paul when he wrote those letters. So almost 2,000 years later, on the other side of the planet, we can read these letters and we know what God wants us to do in our life because God wants to be helpful, specifically for us today in our communication. Because wouldn't you know it, in one of Paul's letter specifically to the church at Ephesus, in chapter 4, Paul gives us the solution to every communication problem we've ever had. And it's not even a bunch of verses. It's not a passage. It's one verse. And I'm not saying it's a solution to our communication problems. I'm saying it is the solution to our communication problems. And it's one verse found in one letter in the New Testament. Now, some of you are thinking, well, Trey, if the answer to all communication problems is one verse, how are we going to spend 3 weeks talking about one verse? And then, how are we going to spend 6 more weeks in small group talking about one verse? Well, let me share the solution with you. Let me share the verse, and then I'll explain why we're going to take that long to cover it. If you have your Bibles, like I said, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. If not, it's going to be up here on the screen. And here's what Paul says. He says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths." And all the moms in the room say, "Amen." There is no reason for that language. Weren't we all taught that? Don't curse. Don't say dirty words. Don't say those things. We all nod, yes, that's what we were taught. And sure, that's what Paul is saying, but Paul is actually saying something bigger and broader than that. Let's look at what he says next. He says, "But only what is helpful." Now, don't miss what Paul just did. Paul just basically put unwholesome and helpful at odds with each other. And so what he's saying is, anything that isn't helpful is harmful. Anything that isn't helpful is unwholesome. So yes, we shouldn't say curse words to each other, not simply because of the cultural ramifications of that, but because, have you ever been cussed at and thought, "Well, that was nice"? Have you ever been cussed at and thought, "You know, you make a good point. I wasn't going to do that, but the way you spoke to me, that moved my heart. You know what, sir? I didn't notice the light had turned green. I want to thank you for speaking to me that way, because now I'm going to go. You have a good day." No. So it's not just the word. What Paul is trying to say is, Paul says, no. Don't let anything come out of your mouth. He's calling it unwholesome. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful. Everything we say should be designed and intended to help. To help who? He keeps going. Helpful for building others up. Everything we say, think about this. Think about that this was our standard just for life, that we're only going to say things that are helpful to build others up. We're only going to say things that are helpful for other people. Imagine if that was our standard on Facebook. Imagine if that was our standard on Yelp. And I know some of you are thinking, "I'm going to leave this review and it's going to help some people." But what Paul is saying is, hey, guys, you got to think about this. If you really want to wrap your brain around this communication issue we have and how we miscommunicate, and you really want to fix it, you really want to solve it, you really want to make it better, do not let any unwholesome, unhelpful talk come out of your mouths. Only what is helpful for building others up, and he keeps going, according to their needs. According to their needs. You know what that means? You know how you speak according to someone's needs? You have to know their needs. And you know how you know someone's needs? You know them personally. You know their circumstances. You know what they were doing before. You know what they were doing after. You know their story. See, what Paul's saying is, hey. If there are words coming out of your mouth towards someone, but you don't know their story, you don't know their needs, you don't know that what you're saying is going to be helpful to build them up, Paul would say, don't say it. And you would say, "Why not, Paul?" And Paul would say, "Because it's unwholesome. Because it's unhelpful." But he's not done. According to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And if you're like me, you hear that, and you kind of want to be the kid in class that raises his hand in the back of the room and says, "Excuse me a minute, Paul. How you doing, buddy? Paul, let me get this straight. So what you're saying is that in every conversation, every word, every text, every email, everything I communicate, period, I'm not supposed to have unwholesome talk. It's supposed to be helpful. And the way you define helpful is specifically tailored to that person's exact needs in that exact moment, perfectly calibrated language, hopefully intended to build them up. and not even just like vaguely helpful, but specifically, uniquely helpful to them. That's what you're saying I'm supposed to do at all times. And if I don't do that, my words are unwholesome. And Paul would say, you got it. And you would say, well, Paul, how am I supposed to do that? That sounds impossible. And Paul would say, well, this is why your church is going to talk about it for 3 weeks on stage. And this is why then you're going to start a 6-week Bible study to help figure out how to do this in your life. I didn't say it was easy. I just said it would be better. And if you're like me, you want to push back again on Paul and say, but Paul, that just sounds hard. You know what, Paul, I take it back. My communication's fine. You know what, we're good. Paul, that just sounds too hard. That doesn't really sound worth it to me. I'm not sure I want to put in the effort to that. And if you're feeling that way, I get it. I relate, I understand. And if Paul were here today, here's what I think he would say. I think Paul would invite us to lean in, and he would say, Well, let me ask you a question. He said, let's take this verse again, and I want you to think about it a different way. Let's take this verse, and rather than thinking about this verse as something you're called to do, look at this verse and imagine that this was a choice everyone else in your life made about you. Imagine everyone else in your life decided that when they spoke to you, they weren't going to let any unwholesome talk come out of their mouths. That every word they spoke was going to be helpful for building you up, specifically according to your need. And that they were going to take everything they say and everything they have and everything they thought, and they were going to filter it through that, and they were going to work together so that they could speak to you and that it would benefit you when you listen. Now just imagine they did that for you in your lives. And then Paul would ask this question. Paul would say, how would you feel about that? And you know what we would all say? Well, Paul, that sounds great. Paul, I would love, you know what, Paul? Thank you. Thank you, Paul. They do need to do that for me. And I'm going to text them and say, they need to watch this message. They need to read this passage because you are right. If they would all do that for me, Paul, then I would be able to do this back. Paul, I would love it if they did this for me. Thank you. Will you, Paul, tell them to do that? Yeah. You need to make them do that. And Paul would say, whoa. So what you're saying is that you would love it if those you love did this for you. And you're like, yes, I would love it. And Paul would say, well, then don't you think those you love would love it if you did this for them? And that's what you say, Paul, come on, man. But Paul would say back, he'd say, hey, look, listen, hear me out. How successful have you ever been in life trying to change other people? Trying to get other people to change their behaviors. How successful have you been? And we would all have to say, not very successful, Paul. Not very successful. Right. And then Paul would say, in fact, who's the one person on the planet you've ever actually experienced any sort of success changing? Like deciding you need to change and actually seeing change happen. Who? And we would all say, ourselves. And Paul would say, right, so maybe rather than hearing this new great idea that would be so much better if everyone else did it for us, what if we decided, well, you know what, I can't control them, never been able to. I can control myself. And if I would love it if they did this for me, maybe they would love it if I did it for them. And if they did this for me, I think it would be easier for me to do it back. Maybe it would be easier for them if I did it first. And Paul would say, well, now we're getting somewhere. Now we're getting somewhere. See, this whole solution to our communication problem, it's very easy to look externally. It's very easy to decide that it's everyone else's problem that we can't communicate well. And it might be. But what Paul would say is, hey, let's at least start with the one thing you can control. And if that sounds better, if this standard sounds better, and you know you would benefit from it, and you know you'd like it if people did it for you, why not offer it first? Well, Paul, how do I do that? And Paul would say, it's simple. Begin asking this question. Am I speaking to others how I wish they would speak to me? If this new standard that I've just presented sounds so great, so amazing, if you know you would like it, are you speaking to other people that way? What would happen if you tried? Because see, here's what Paul understood about us and about Jesus and about God and about everything. He understood that we all, whether we believed in God or not, are going to be brought up in a world where we are going to be taught something called the golden rule. You don't have to be raised in church to know the golden rule. Treat other people how you want to be treated. I would assume every one of us in this room were taught this by our parents or by our grandparents or by our aunt or by an uncle. Maybe you didn't attribute it to God. Maybe you did. But did you know that the golden rule was Jesus's idea? Did you know that the golden rule was at the heart of Jesus's teaching? Here's what he says in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is the one who said, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. He is the one who created this. And the reason it resonates with our souls is because our souls have been designed to be tuned to the things of God. And we just know it's right. But did you know what else Jesus said about the golden rule? Watch this. He says, this is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. In other words, if you get this right, you get it all right. Everything God's ever said, everything Jesus has ever said, everything he's ever wanted for us can be boiled down to treat other people the way you yourself would like to be treated. That is the beginning of love. That is the beginning of change. That is the heart of Jesus' teachings. And that is what Paul knew when he wrote this verse. So with that in mind, let's read the verse again. Let's read the verse. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, because I would love it if people spoke that way to me. In fact, only speak what is helpful for building others up, because I would love it if that's how people spoke to me. And only speak in a way that is according to their need, that it may benefit those who listen, because I would love it if people spoke that way to me. How do we do that? Well, that's what we're going to talk about for the next few weeks. In fact, next week, we are going to discuss one decision. One step, one key ingredient to being able to put all of this into practice. But before we can get there, before we can do that, we have to admit we have a communication problem. We have to embrace the idea that God has the solution. And we have to accept that we cannot blame others. And it has to begin with us. So my challenge for you this week, as you leave here, as you go home, as you watch TV, as you're with your friends and your family, your neighbor, your coworkers this week, when miscommunication happens, when it flies up, when you feel it happen, ask yourself this question. Am I speaking to others how I wish that they would speak to me? And here's the good news. If your answer is yes, do nothing. You're great. But if your answer is no, if your answer is, you know what, that wasn't really helpful. You know what, that wasn't really beneficial. You know what, I don't really know their story. You know what, I don't really know their needs. You know what, I wish I could have said it this way. You know what, I wish I could have said it that way. Make a commitment. Commit some time to God as an investment into those relationships. Invest in better communication with your spouse. Invest in better communication with your family. Invest in better communication with your children, with your boss, with your employee. Invest in that by committing this season to God and to partner with this church to let him teach you how to do these things. And here's what that means. That means committing to, on Sunday mornings when you're in town, just be here for the next few weeks. Not a lifelong commitment, just be here for the next few weeks. so that you can hear how to do this. If you're traveling, follow us online. Jump in. We live stream every service. You put the message online. You can stay connected. We understand people travel. And go ahead and right now and wrap your brain around, when the 3 weeks are up in this room, you're going to sign up for the six-week small group study. I know for some of you, signing up for a small group study is the scariest thing you can do in the world. That's why we're giving you 3 weeks to prepare. 3 weeks. Because the reason we're doing this isn't because we want to make you feel bad. Isn't because we want more time. It's because you read the verse. That looks hard. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's hard. Hard things are hard. Getting better at communication is hard. But that's why God sent His Son, to assure us you don't have to walk through hard things alone. It's why He allowed His Son to die and then brought His Son back to life. You want to talk about a hard thing? See, He did that for us. So that when we think about, I don't know if I can change this, I don't know if I can make this happen in my life, God would say, oh yeah? Remember my Son who died and came back to life? The same power that literally raised Him from the dead is available to you to help change this in your life. And oh, by the way, I've also given you a church full of friends and family, full of people who want to love you and support you and pray with you and walk with this every step of the way. That's why the church exists. I know it's hard. Following me might be hard, but it's better and it's worth it. And you do not have to walk it alone. So again, this week was just all about opening our eyes, opening our awareness, and seeing a picture of what could be. And your homework is simple. Ask yourself, am I speaking to others how I wish they would speak to me? And if the answer is yes, again, you're off the hook. But if the answer is no, trust the God who brought you here to get you there. Trust that the God that moved heaven and earth to make this moment happen has a plan and a path, and has given you a church that wants to support you and walk with you. So that when we're done, it will not be perfect, but our communication can be better. It can be more successful. And as we said at the top, boy, wouldn't that be nice? It's possible. I hope you will join us. And I hope you can discover the power of the God who raises the dead. His power is available to you. And through Him, I'm certain we can learn to speak clearly. We can learn to love more. And our words can truly become a benefit to all who listen. Let me pray. God, we just love You so much. We are so thankful for Your Son. We are so thankful for the gift of His love. We are so thankful for the gift of His forgiveness and guidance and mercy and wisdom. And God, I just pray as we begin this journey together that You will open our hearts, excite our spirits to step towards You, to dare to dream that our communication could get better, to dare to dream that we'd be able to share what we think and what we know and what we feel with those we love, and we'd be able to receive it back, and that it would truly be a benefit to all who listen. God, we love You. We trust Your promise. And we want to pursue You with passion. Give us the strength and courage today to do it. We love You. It's in Your Son's amazing and holy name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.